Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a sermon series titled Responding to Grace, which is part two of our walk through the book of Ephesians. If you have any questions about North Valley Church or our sermon podcast, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org. Good morning, North Valley Church. My name is Dan. I am the lead pastor here at North Valley Church. Congratulations for being here. Give yourselves a little bit of a hand. I'm hoping that the fact that y'all are here probably means that you're not sick, because lots of families in North Valley Church are taking the day off. We've had people in the hospital over the weekend. We've had COVID over the weekend. We just had all kinds of exciting stuff over the weekend. We got a special treat this morning. Chad LaWall was supposed to be here. Chad and his family are in the not here because we're feeling ill. Chad figured that out this morning. And so God just had in store for us a little backup plan and was able to bring us Brooke Detweiler to be able to fill in. Yeah, so give Brooke a little love for being here and being willing to give it a go. One of the things I get to do as a pastor is I get to perform wedding ceremonies. Wedding ceremonies, they can be lots of fun. The first wedding I officiated was for a couple of bikers getting married. And I'm new at this. I don't know how it works. But there's this thing where when you officiate a wedding that I don't charge when I do that, but the couples typically give me a gift. For my first wedding, I got a really cool leather biker jacket. I mean, it's a really nice jacket. A leather vest. Thank you, Millie. A leather biker vest. I didn't wear it today because I don't know if it would have gone over to flannel. And when I got it, it was a long time ago. I may have been a pound or two thinner at the time I got the vest. And so, but it's my goal to get back in. I've gotten to do, today wouldn't be a good day for it, but I've got to do weddings outside. Outdoor weddings are kind of fun because you can only get so much junk going on, and you just eventually got to get to the wedding. I like that. But I've been able to officiate a wedding at Skycroft Outdoors. It was kind of cool. I had recently taken over Summit Trace Church, and there was a couple who met on the youth retreats at Skycroft, and they now lived in Delaware, and their relationship grew, and they were getting married, and they were looking for a pastor who would just officiate the wedding here in Frederick. So I got to do that, worked with their pastor over there to make the counseling happen and all that, and I got to officiate an outdoor wedding for this couple from Delaware who wanted to be at Skycroft. That was kind of cool. Last year, I think it was, Theo and Shelley Fox got married, and they asked me to officiate their wedding, and that was so cool. But Theo and Shelley, being Theo and Shelley, they wanted to make it a little fun, so they came to me and said, "Look, Dan, I was wondering if you could do the Princess Bride thing for our wedding." Anyone who has not seen the movie Princess Bride, right? Oh my gosh! Okay, somebody, counsel Rob, and so when you hear this, you're going to go, "I'm not even sure I want to watch the movie now." There's a wedding scene in The Princess Bride, and they asked me if I could do that. And so I got to stand up before the congregation. We're all dressed in our fancies. Theo's there, and Shelley works her way up, and I got to go, "Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today." I did the whole intro, got lots of laughs, right? I'm like, I'm going to go for number two. So people are laughing because they recognize I'm doing The Princess Bride. But then I went into just opening and introducing myself and Theo and Shelley, and I didn't let the thing go. And so you could see their faces. It's like, oh my gosh, he really talks like that. He has a speech impediment, and I was laughing at him. It's like there are moments when it's like, yes, I can get the double in. Weddings, we make a big deal about weddings. I like it when they're fun, but oh my gosh, great googly muggy. We invest a lot of resources into making marriages happen and weddings, don't we? We rent out large places. We buy lots of food. Occasionally, I've seen alcohol at weddings. Oh, I tell you, a fair, reasonable number, I don't know what it is, but a reasonable number of weddings that I have officiated, for some reason, the groom doesn't want to show up sober. I'm just being honest, man. I've been to more than a few weddings, and the groom goes like this with his half... I see people tapping their husbands. Okay, I see the groom hands me the half gallon of Jack Daniels and say, here, you want to loosen up a little bit before the wedding? I'm like, no, I'm good. I got work to do. But y'all have a good time. So it just happens. We make a party out of it. We have a good time. We invest resources. If you're later in life, when you decide to get married, you invest your own resources. But most of the time, we hit up mom and dad for those things, don't we? Yes, right? Mom and dads show up, particularly the parents of the bride. Man, they show up and they are willing to invest. And for the night before, right, the groom's parents are willing to invest. I want you to think for a moment how big a party God could throw for a wedding. If we do that for weddings here, imagine what God would do for His wedding. In Revelation 19, it describes this wedding feast that is yet to happen. That at some point, the Lamb of God, Jesus, is going to be united with His bride, the church. And there's going to be a party then like no other. I mean, think about it. God's going to throw a wedding party. It is going, right? Jesus showed up in one, and what did He do? Here's more wine, right? That's what He did. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a big deal. I would imagine it's a big deal to God the Father that His Son is getting married. I imagine it's a big deal to Jesus in that moment when the union of Him and His church really sets its place the way it will be for all eternity. It's an important big deal. It's such a big deal for God that I wonder if God hasn't started celebrating that already. Maybe God is doing something to help set up the stage for the wedding that He really wants to have happen. The union of His Son, the groom, and His bride, the church. And that maybe when God designed men and women and designed them to get married and become one flesh, God was actually painting a foreshadow for us of what our relationship will be like with Jesus one day in the future. I want you to sit with that for a moment. When we talk about marriage and how it works and weddings, we go about it often in, how do I do this so that I'm happy, so that we're healthy? We're doing the right thing. I want to do the right thing. What does God want us to do? I want us to wrestle with the question, what does God want us to reflect? Because if this is right, and we have an opportunity to foreshadow this wedding that is to happen in the future, man, our goal starts to look a little different. Our goal starts to look like, how can what it is that we're doing reflect and honor God? And we've got our own struggles and stuff that we work through. Man, this morning I want us to sit with the idea that our marriages ought to work in a manner and function so that they foreshadow for the rest of the world what Jesus' relationship is going to be like with His church, so that they can reflect the image of God and the kind of relationship He wants to have with us. We are continuing in our series, Responding to Grace. If you were here last week, we talked about that we have an opportunity to live and do things in a certain way so that we honor God, so that we reflect Him in our life. And through our obedience and doing the things and casting off the old way we used to live in and bringing on the new one, we're actually glorifying God. We can do that as individuals. This morning, I want to talk about what that looks like when we do that as a couple. Now, it's all awkward, but we're going to talk about relationships in general. Today, we're going to focus on marriage. Then we're going to take a break to do Easter. Our Easter series will start next week. But then when we pick up, we're going to pick up really the other half of this sermon. We're going to talk about our other relationships as we restart this series, the other relationships. Today, we are going to focus on the marriage relationship. In our series where we're going through the book of Ephesians, we are in chapter 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? There's not brain surgery here. If you're a note taker, you got your paper out, man. Underline reverence for Christ. That's where I want us to start today. That there's something about who Jesus is that we ought to have reverence about. When we talk about our relationship with Jesus, a lot of times we look at Jesus in a brotherly sort of way, right? He is God the Son, and we are God's children as well, and that's appropriate. That's right, to be able to have that kind of brotherly relationship with Jesus. But as we do that, I don't want us to jettison the idea that He is also our King, that He is our Lord. And when my Lord and King says, I would like for you to do this, I've got some ownership and responsibility to follow the leadership of my Lord and King. That's where it comes for, out of reverence for Christ. And it starts to submit to one another out of that reverence. That it's two people, right? A marriage relationship requires two for this to be able to appropriately reflect and honor God and be the foreshadow for the world of the marriage of the Lamb and His church. For us to be able to do that, both of the folks need to be in. Towards the end of the sermon last week, we talked about, Paul wrapped up that part and said, I don't want you to be partnered with folks who are living in a different set of relationship with God. If you've got people in your life that aren't following God, you should still have a relationship with them. You should still be friends. You can still do things with them. But being in a partnership with them is probably not a good idea. Most particularly going into this passage, he said that just a few verses ago here, and where we're picking it up, in the context of don't partner with unsaved people because of verse 21, that we need to submit to one another in our relationship with Christ. That sets the stage. If we can get started there, man, forward starts to look so much easier. Forward starts to make so much more sense. That as we recognize our need, we're all lost, broken people. That Jesus died on the cross for us to be able to heal that relationship with the Father in heaven. He paid the price for our sins. It's something that we can't do for ourselves. And when I recognize that truth and I'm able to accept my need and Jesus' sacrifice for me, it starts to change things. Cooler yet, when I recognize that 3 days after Jesus died, He rose from the dead, it changes everything. He is the one. He has power and authority over sin and death. He is the one who can grant us forgiveness. He is the one who can give us eternity in heaven. He is the one who sends the Holy Spirit to start living and working inside of us right now today. If you've never done that before, man, I would encourage you, let's make today the day. If you could, you can hang around after the service, come talk to me, or you could talk to Pitt G. Put up, he's the one holding the baby right now. You could talk to Grant, and we would love to start the conversation of what does forward look like if I choose to follow Christ. If you don't think you're able to do that today, you can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. And I will do my best to get back with you to help you start moving and walking in the direction of what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, as we start this conversation that Paul intros, he says, before I say anything, folks, remember, we need to be in this together, and Christ needs to be part of the marriage relationships. He needs to be the center. He continues in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. If you're a note taker, just that "as you do to the Lord" would be cool to underline. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. When I start to read this description about wives and husbands, and if you read it, they're given different things to think about and do. God has designed marriage so that we have roles in them, that the women have a role and the men have a role. And in defining unique roles for the men and the women, what the opportunity is this stops looking like a business relationship, right? A business relationship, we negotiate, right? What's in it for you? What's in it for me? And I'm willing to work 50-50. I'll do my part as long as you do your part. A marriage relationship shouldn't work 50-50. In marriages, it should be 100%. We need to be all in, doing the things in the way that God's designed us to do. If we aren't both all in, it starts to take a waver. We will drift away from what God wants us to do. Besides this word submit in Genesis 2:18, as God's created Adam and then Eve, he uses the word that Adam needs a suitable helper, right? Women have a role and an opportunity to do that. This verse is just an encouragement. Think about the church and Christ and how the church respects and follows Jesus' leadership. That's what Paul is encouraging women to be able to do with that. Right? It means that you should show up with your counsel, right? You're smart. Guys should be there listening. You should be able to be the helper when you see things going on. You've got a sense of what needs to happen sometimes that guys lose, right? Boys and girls were wired differently, physically, mentally, emotionally, and there are things you're going to be aware of. Man, be the contributor to that. But ultimately, at some point, you should be cooperative with the husband in making decisions. But ultimately, if you guys aren't on the same page, the husband owns the responsibility of making final decisions. We'll be talking more about what he owns, but I want to start using the word leadership. Right? For us to be able to submit to a leader, they need to lead well. So there is a guardrail here. There's a guardrail here about submission, right? You should not submit to abuse. That is not what part of submission in the marriage relationship is. You should not submit to doing sin. If your husband's leading you in a way to do that, put the brakes on. That is not okay. When the husband starts to lead poorly, and none of us are Jesus, you need to put the brakes on and go, honey, I think you're off track. This is not okay. Right? So there's this weird thing about we're asked to lead our families like Christ led the church, but ain't none of us Jesus. But I want you to think about this context of leadership for a moment. If you were married to Jesus, any woman who was actually married to Jesus would have no problem doing this part of submission. I'm talking to the girls. I'm about to segue to the boys. being the wives having this role of submission does not mean we get to be bad leaders. That's not okay. If we're doing leadership in a bad way, we're making the wives' job hard. So guys, we need to own our role in helping the wives be joyful in what it is that they're doing. Paul uses this word when he's describing things for the husbands to think about. Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church. Guys, if you don't walk away with anything else, I need you to hear that. Love your wives. Love your wives. It needs to all go around that. Yeah, we need to be leaders. We need to accomplish goals, blah, blah, blah. Love your wives. We'll talk more about that. In one of the contexts of loving your wife is being the spiritual leader of our home. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Guys, we are responsible for the spiritual health of our marriage. Our wives might be more gifted at it. There might be things that they can do better, but we own it. If it's not happening and it's not doing as well as you think it should, we own it. We're ultimately one day going to be held accountable for it. God isn't going to throw us into hell for being a bad husband, but when you cross into heaven, you get gifts, you get rewards. And there's an opportunity for us to be rewarded for being a good husband. Or we can have some rewards lost because we didn't do this well. We are responsible for the spiritual leadership. Look at the way Jesus led his church. He sacrificed himself for the sake of his bride. When guys get in circles, right, we don't have a problem being able to say things like, yeah, I'd take a bullet for my family. Yeah, I'd go fight that bad guy if he tried to break in my house. I got loaded guns. I'll take care of that, blah, blah, blah. Right, we're willing to jump out there in the front of the fray and do whatever it is we need to defend our family. But we won't take out the trash. But we won't do the dishes. We're willing to take a bullet, but we won't turn off the football game long enough to be able to just sit with our wife and be able to do something she may want to do on a Sunday afternoon. When we think about the opportunities to give ourselves up for our families and for our wives, man, don't turn it into a superhero movie. There's a lot more day-to-day things that need to come into play. Moments when we may have to say, I need to give this up because my wife has a need. Oh, how do you know what your wife's needs are? Because you've been talking to her and asking her, hey, what's going on? How's it going? What do you have that you need me to take care of? Besides owning spiritual responsibility for our relationship, boys, we get to care for our wives. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. We own spiritual responsibility. Boys, we ought to be caring. Loving our wives means we're caring for them. We're asking them, what do you need? How's it going? What is it that I can help you with? What are your goals? And what is it that I might be able to do for you to be able to accomplish those things? Do you know what your wife's love language is? Guys, we are so good at, it's Valentine's Day. I need to do something. So I'm going to go buy the box of candy, blah, 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 and show up with some flowers and candy. But if your wife's love language isn't gifts, then you've wasted cash. I'm seeing some enthusiastic nods. I want us to be able to think and recognize, know our wives well enough so that we're meeting what their need is. That's what love looks like. You see where I'm at? In some circles, people, certainly the world, would get uptight about the idea of wives submitting to the husbands. But if the husbands were loving them like Jesus loves his church, nobody would turn that down. Nobody. Guys, what do? Right? Jesus loves us and we submit to him as well. And for myself, we go through seasons, right? I've had a busy season, things, whatever, blah, blah. So I'm doing this sermon on marriages. Oh, yeah. Millie, we need to talk. So yesterday I got to have the, so Millie, I'm doing this sermon on marriages. You need anything from me? We ought to be doing devotionals on Saturday like we used to. I'll get back to that. I wanted to yesterday, just couldn't happen. We need reminders, right? We drift. We need simple reminders. Oh yeah, you know what? That simply is the right thing to do. And so I've got my reminder. Millie, bless her heart, I said, do you need anything from me? No, I'm good. So we're good. Are there things that I need to be doing, taking ownership and tuning up, taking responsibility for? Absolutely. But this is an opportunity to do a tune-up. If you've never thought about this and taking ownership of your marriage relationship, man, maybe today's the day to make some big changes. For those of you who've been doing it a while, maybe today's not a bad day to do a tune-up. Just take a moment with your wife and go, where are we at? Where do we want to be? And what do you need me to help do? What do I need to give up? Be willing to give up that thing to help the wives get there. Wives, when the husbands show up, right after this sermon, there's a reasonable chance they might show up and go, honey, is there anything you want to talk about? Load up the guns, right? This is your chance. If you've got a list, make it happen, right? You should be doing that right now. If you need to open up your phone and start making the list, because if he's listening, he might start doing that today. Start the list so that you can say, why, yes, here's what it is that God told me while Dan was talking today. Take a moment so that he needs to hear your voice. Because this marriage relationship happens best when we're together in one, and it happens with communication. When you look at statistics and why people get divorced, they say money is the biggest reason of why people get divorced. But you know what? Even behind money, the reason money becomes a problem is because we weren't talking about it. Money became a problem because we weren't sitting down and going, what's up with the budget, right? I'm one of those folks, I am terrible managing money. I don't manage it. I'm really good at getting rid of it. It's in my way. Here, let me spend it over here. God gave me Millie so that I am not broke. That's part of the magic. It happens, our best relationship happens when we're together, right? Genesis talks about us becoming one flesh. And there's a curve to that, right? There's a moment when I show up at the wedding, okay, we were two, now we're one. That's a steep curve. There's a steep moment when it's like, oh my gosh, I got to figure out how to live with this person. And so there's a steep curve at the beginning, but then what happens is it tapers off, and then we start to take the work required for granted. You know when most divorces happen? 5 years. We got that giant excitement at the beginning. We're learning, we ought to be learning how to live together, but it doesn't happen. And at the 5-year mark, the wheels come off the cart. And talk about what's going on. Share with each other. Be one. It's going to happen in moments when you can just sit down. When you do those moments, man, guys, invite Jesus into the conversation. Make sure it's a prayerful moment. Make sure it's an opportunity for you and Jesus and your spouse to be able to talk about where are we at and just be accepting about where are we at. You ain't got to be perfect. I ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. Our marriage relationships ain't going to be perfect. None of us are the same. None of our marriage relationships are going to look exactly like the other. When you two come together, there's a unique oneness about who you are. Celebrate that. Find out who that is. Find out who that one is. Invite Jesus into the conversation and then run with it. Take some time and talk to God about who you are. Paul puts it this way in verse 31. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I am talking about Christ and the church. If you got your ink pen, you want to underline them. He's talking about Christ and the church. See, when we get to talking about marriage, relationships, and all the right and wrong things to do and make it work, blah, 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 we often lose sight of what's really behind who we are is Christ and His church. That we have an opportunity to reflect for the world, to be a foreshadow of this beautiful marriage that's coming. And that people ought to be able to see that in what it is that we're doing. Yeah, there's techniques and mechanics and doing it well and healthy. Yeah, that's all good. But man, don't forget that the goal is Christ and His church. That this wedding of Jesus to His bride is really what we're after. I want to look like that. What's my part in that, and how can I do that to the best of my ability? I'm not much on verse memorization, mostly because I have a terrible memory. When people try and talk to me, people love to talk to me after church. Hey, Dan, and I was thinking about this and this and this and this. Most of y'all have heard it. The thing you're going to hear me say is, if you don't send me an email, I'm going to forget we had this conversation in 2 seconds. As soon as you walk through that door, my brain will check it out. So I struggle with memorizing. But if you wanted to write this next verse down somewhere and post it somewhere, man, verse 33. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Man, if we were to talk about what roles look like, man, Paul captured it in that verse. Man, there's some books called Love and Respect. Great books on marriage, relationship roles, and how all that works. Big fan. That verse, man, I would love for you to hang out in that verse. I want to make a point about that verse for a moment. That verse is from God. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Part of the verse is directed to husbands. Part of the verse is directed to wives. There's a part that the boys own. There's a part that the girls own. It is a communication from God. It's not a weapon to use on your spouse. You can't grab this and go, you don't love me enough. Jesus said you have to do this. Guys, you can't say, you don't respect me. Jesus said you have to do this. That's out of bounds. This is communication from God to your spouse or to you. Take ownership of your part. If you do your part well, it makes the other person's part easier to do. Take ownership of your part. If there's a moment when you guys are having an honest conversation, what do you need from me? How's this going? And you want to bring this up and you're just like, well, you know, I could feel some more love. Can we talk about that? Cool. If you're in a conversation talking about the marriage, right? We've stepped out of being in the marriage. We're talking about our marriage. Hey, can we talk about some stuff? Yeah, maybe I'm not feeling respect in this area. Can we talk about that? Cool. It's part of your relationship. But man, please don't use Bible verses to beat other people up with. I know of marriage relationships that they do that. And it's just not the way God's word's meant to work. God wrote passages for the husband, passages for the wife. Take ownership of your part. If you get an opportunity that you can sit and talk about how you're feeling and how the marriage is working and you want to use those words, rock on. But don't beat each other up with it. Thank you for everyone's patience this morning. Some of you all are here and you're not married. And you've had to sit through me talking about marriage relationships. And you're single. I'm going to ask anyway that all of us pray for marriages. If you are in a marriage relationship, man, today, tomorrow, this week, take an intentional moment, put it on your calendar and say, we're going to get together and pray and talk about how we're doing. And we're just going to be open and honest and figure that out. And then we're going to ask Jesus to show us what forward looks like. We have those conversations with grace and love and respect. But then we figure out what forward looks like. And we do that by inviting Jesus in. If you're not married, man, pray for marriages. Think about it. Let's say I'm not completely on drugs. I'm not completely on drugs. I can at least stand. That was humor. No, nobody gets me. Okay, good. Said the other people on drugs got it. So, okay, good. sorry, that was bad. So, but it was funny. I got laughs out of that one. I would love for us to be able to be praying for marriages. Right, think about it. If I'm not too far off base and marriages have the opportunity to be a witness to the world about this beautiful union between Christ and His church, we get to do something beautiful and powerful with that. It's a witness tool. It's a powerful tool. If we were able to do it well, it would be a really good witnessing tool. But great googly muggly, when you look at the statistics, Christians aren't doing any better than the rest of the world. That's a heartbreaker. That's a heartbreaker. I think part of that is because we've lost vision of why we're really here together. That it's not just about us and Jesus didn't put me in a marriage to make me happy. I'm here to break the news. That's not why it happened. God is trying to be a witness to the world. We have an opportunity to be a witness in the world. There is something that we can do more beautiful, more powerful together in a family unit than we can apart. Man, do that. Do that well. Even if you're not married, be praying that the church, us, North Valley, find out what marriage is supposed to look like so that we can glorify God and be a witness to the world with something that He is doing inside of us. I would love for all of us to be praying that our marriages look like that. I would like to invite the band up. And while they are, if you're married, man, start looking at each other. Whip out your phones. You have permission to whip out your phone and say, when can we talk? Don't drop the baby on the floor when you do that. That was humor again. Come on, stay with me, folks. Think about when you can talk. Let's make that plan. If your spouse isn't here, be intentional after the service. When can we talk? We need to do that. If you're single and you're not married, I want you to walk away going, I know what it's supposed to look like. God's gave us a bit of a blueprint, and I know that there's something more than just making it work. There's something He wants me to cast, a vision He wants to be able to share with the whole rest of the world by a marriage I'm going to have maybe again one day. Or maybe I'm going to looking forward. Maybe I'm a young single person, and I'm looking forward to that. You can know what it is that needs to look like. all of us can be praying about how we can be witnesses for him today. Would you do that with me? Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your son. Thank you for your idea in the church. From the beginning of time, you had a plan of salvation. From the beginning of time. And it's not just an opportunity to take an anthropomorphical reference and try and explain to us what the union of the bride and the lamb is. Lord, you are teaching us, showing us there's something so beautiful going to happen when Jesus is united with his church. And you want us to model that. You want us to model how that works so that we can share it with each other, so that we can show the world there's something beautiful coming. God, help us run to that. Help us look to that. As we do that, Lord, let us be focused on your love for us. We are the church. You love us so much. Lord, help us just take a moment as we go through this week. Help us celebrate that love that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.